Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Deaf Conversations. I'll start off our weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Well, welcome back. Broadcasting from the Deaf Con Sources compound located deep under a well-known Superfund site in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. We got another cool show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of peppers. This will be our last show of the year, as we'll be enjoying a brief time of rest and relaxation, a luxury that does not come around very often. Things have kind of wound down a little bit with the Christmas rush pretty much over right now. By the way, happy Festivus. Anyway, we always have about a 4 to 5 minute last minute shoppers. And for you guys, your overnight orders are out, I guarantee. To those few that ordered last minute, next year order a little earlier, the postage will be a tad less. But anyway, for many manufacturers, this really is a time to take a deep breath and relax. Well, here within the walls of the DEF CON compound, we have to start gearing up again almost immediately. Having the best wing sauce on the planet does have its perks, and as the NFL playoff season starts up, our products will once again sprout wings, no pun intended, and fly out to parts unknown looking to feed the masses. No rest for the weary. Whatever. Okay, as I reflect back on the year, though, it's kind of been an amazing one. Our growth has been steady, as it has been since the beginning. And we only have you guys out there to thank for that. The dozens upon dozens of events we did this year, from farmers markets to the New York City Hot Sauce Expo or the thrash metal bars in Brooklyn, we met thousands of new faces and found yet another group of friends that we did not know we had. For this, I am truly grateful. The gastronomical experiment we call DEF CON Sauces has become something we had never expected when we started about 10 years ago. Maggie always tells me how proud she is of me, and my reply is always, "We're not done yet, for life is a journey of many steps, and I have plenty of soul left in my boots." Hey, nice double entendre, huh? Anyway, as I mentioned on the last show, myself and the one and only Hoboken Eddie will both be in attendance at Wing Bowl 8 on Saturday, January 24th, from 4:30 to 9 at the Ramada Convention Center in Fishkill, New York. The two of us together in the same venue makes for a very twisted afternoon, so come join in the insanity. There's something about a day filled with wings and beer that just tastes like victory. So go to hvwingbowl.com for tickets and more information about this event. Should be a good one. Now, as I stated on last week's show, I have to give another quick update regarding our upcoming release of our first Zero Batch collectible in over 6 years. I tried like hell to have this piece of DEF CON history ready by Christmas, but with the amount of work we have on our plate right now, it just wasn't in the cards. It will be ready very soon, I promise. I guess you could call this one of the shortfalls when you only have a two-man operation. A stupid amount of time was put into the Zero Batch 6, and it's probably the most unique and complex item we've ever basically created. We're doing a final tuning, and I'll send out the blast email as soon as things are ready. Again, we're only making 66 of these evil little beasties, and they're going to go fast. So if you're not on the mailing list, I suggest getting on it now. john@defconsauces.com. Once again, I have to repeat a quick and quite important note regarding the upcoming Zero Batch number 6. Due to unforeseen international border issues and the nature of the components of the Zero Batch number 6, a large number of other countries do not allow this sort of item to be shipped across their borders. Therefore, we will not be able to directly ship any of the Zero Batch number 6s to any international addresses. Trust me, I know it sucks. I honestly wasn't aware of these legal issues until our lawyer contacted us to inform me about the international legal restrictions. Considering the main components have already been engraved in detail, there's really no turning back now on the design. Leave it to DEF CON Sauces to almost spark an international incident. That being said, I've chosen to avoid getting a personal visit from Interpol, so we have to restrict shipping to the United States addresses only. Who would have ever thought selling a hot sauce collectible might incur extradition? I've apologized for this. I really do, but when it comes to international restrictions, I abide by them as it keeps the blacked-out government Chevy Suburbans out of my driveway. Anyway, okay, the quick topic for this evening, we're going to switch gears here. With the ever-changing taste of the American palate towards the hot and spicy, a product type that has really grown explosively in the last few years, the types are the dry rubs and spice blends. Perhaps they came to the forefront because of all the cooking and grilling and barbecuing shows that have kind of popped up everywhere. It doesn't matter. Dry rubs and dry spice blends are awesome to work with. We here at DEF CON Sauces have a couple, and they sell very well. The Smoky Dust, basically a dried version of our medium medium heat buffalo wing sauce with a little bit of chipotle and the contaminated soil, an evil blend of eight different kinds of Mother Nature's most evil peppers, including the scorpion, habanero, and ghost pepper. Well, that being said, I find dry rubs and spice blends are extremely easy to use. They have an extended shelf life, don't normally have to be refrigerated, and are terrific for all sorts of different cooking methods, including direct use on a grill or even a stovetop. Now, with the number of different dry spices available online at a specialty markets these days, I mean, there's an infinite number of flavor combinations. When I find myself with at least three or four different spice blends on the kitchen table at all times, they are fun to experiment with and can really accent all types of meals. I mean, from like steak to soup. And all this talk about dry spices does bring us to our guest tonight. Our guest tonight has been around for a while. I've met him a few times at various shows we've done. Unlike many of the guests we've had in the last 7 months, his products are all dry spices and rubs. They have some very cool products. I'm really looking forward to diving right into them. Hey, Joe, you out there, dude?
Yes, sir. Good evening, John.
Hey. Welcome to the show, man.
Well, I want to tell you, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a blast to already be here. I've been here for, 35 seconds, and it's awesome to be here at DEF Conversations.
Hey. Happy Festivus. Before show, Joe was nice enough to tell us there was Festivus. I totally forgot, but hey, happy Festivus.
I just want to spread the word, and later on tonight, I'll be doing my feats of strength 12 ounces at a time.
All right, woo! All right, now, I want to get into, we got a lot to go over here, so I really want to dive right into here. So I got about 20, 25 questions for you. Let's see if you can get through them. Let's see. As I ask everyone on here, what got you interested from the beginning in the hot and spicy world? There had to be something that kind of tipped you off.
Well, hot and spicy has been a way. I was born and raised in Arizona, in the desert southwest, Lake Havasu, Arizona. And when we got out of high school, we did a lot of barbecuing, and we just started experimenting back then. And it's been in the back of my mind for many, many years. And just in the past maybe 10 years, you start to put some stuff together, and it's the same old thing where someone says, you should bottle this. And we gave that a try, and it's been a nice road since then.
Oh, very cool, very cool. I'll tell you, we started out almost the same way, man. It was funny. We've been around for about 10 years as well. And about, I've been making wing stuff, and, I finally come up with a decent wing recipe, and people coming over to Super Bowl parties, John, could you whip me up a batch of this stuff? Started the same exact way. And I'll tell you, it's really amazing how many companies do start that way. Somebody's got to put the bug in their butt to get off their asses and do it. It's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. And then you look around and say, okay, let me see what I can do, and you start putting out feelers. And one thing that got us going is we saw a little teeny fiery food contest in California back in the day. And we just threw together a rub and entered it. And, we took first place in the amateur division, and pretty much that's
nice.
It. You get a little piece of plastic that has your name on it, and a little piece of flame says, hey, man, you got a fiery food that's going to go places? That pretty much senses it right there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no. Dude, that's awesome. I mean, our first thing, I mean, we are greenhorns going way back. I mean, the first thing we ever did were the SCOVI Award things. And some bitch, I mean, the first year, we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, we're going against these huge names that have been around forever. Whammo, we took a first place and a third place. I'm like, holy God, we're on the map. We never looked back.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you got a good flavor, you know your products, and you just put it out there, people are going to notice.
Absolutely. Now, I did like your remark on your website, though. It says, Tango Spice has been a hobby that takes up all my free time after my real job. That actually made me laugh out loud, because I think that's about probably 75% of the hot sauce industry can relate to that, because most of them don't. This is not their full-time gig. I guess that's the same with you.
Well, yeah, there you go. You get guys who have a decent hobby, and let's just stick with food. You do it on the weekends. It's what you love. You're cooking all weekend. You're coming up with new stuff. You do a farmer's market. You do a festival here or a food show. And that's what you do. You get off your regular job. You load your truck. You get your stuff. You go out and you meet the people. And tell you what, for me, is when you're out there and you're shaking hands with the guy, he's trying your product face-to-face, that is sweet.
Oh, it's great, because, I mean, for the face-to-face, I mean, how often is it you can go into a supermarket and or anywhere like that and meet somebody like a Heinz or one of the big conglomos and actually walk up to the person who's actually making your stuff? You can't. And I think that's what sets the hot sauce industry so far apart from all these other huge, huge companies, is the fact they can put a face on the actual product, and they feel safe with that. I think they feel a lot safer with that.
Well, yeah, you get safer, and then if you get to meet the guy, it's more like you're dealing with a friend. I mean, hey, that guy was really awesome. He's very cool. I like his stuff. He took the time to talk to me, to give me a recipe or to say, you know, give me a little bit of insight on how to cook with it. And that one-on-one thing, and they tell their friends, and you get the small companies are where it's at.
I'll tell you, and I mean, we used to advertise in all sorts of places, and we started doing those farmers markets. Oh God, about 5-6 years ago, started doing them. And I'll tell you what, we stopped advertising. We just absolutely don't advertise anywhere anymore. And the word of mouth is so much better and a lot cheaper, but so much better than going out and blowing thousands of dollars on ads on all these different places, commercials or whatever. Bam, you got your front and center, and these people are at a farmers market. They're going to come back with their friends the next week and say, meet this guy. This guy's awesome, and that's how it grows.
See, that's the thing. It's the more personal thing. You can put an ad in the paper, and like you said, that is not cheap. And
right.
I'd rather put some of that little money back into buying some new stuff and trying a new blend or anything. But they can meet you face-to-face and get to know you, and there's a rapport there. And again, like I said, they tell their friends come down. And, you know, there's a couple of shows, like you do a festival, say like a yearly thing. People come back the next year, hey, I remember you here from next year. Good to see you again. Or they'll see you when it's somewhere else. And I saw you at such and such a place, and it was a pleasure to meet you. I love that.
Now you do the Bowers show, right?
Bowers is one I have not done yet. I think you and I probably met up at the New England Regional Chili Cookoff.
That's it. Okay. I wasn't sure where we first met. I knew it was that or the NERCC gig. You got to do Bowers, dude. If you want repeat business, they remember everybody there, and they come with their shopping list and run to each one of those places first before they sell out. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I think I first heard of Bowers this year when I was bumped. Our good friend Steve Seabury at High River Sauces. He mentioned
I've heard of him.
Bowers. Yeah, he's that guy with the short hair who's always so serious.
And very quiet. Very, very introverted.
That's right.
Oh man, so Steve's a great guy. Yeah, and he goes to the chili gig too up in Connecticut. I like that show. That's a fun one.
Well, I tell you what I'll do is after I get off the phone with you and we have finished this fantastic show, I will look up Bowers.
Please do, and it's cheap, and it you would not believe the amount of people that show up to this stupid thing. It's incredible. It's like thousands and thousands. They line up in front of booths and just wait, and they're everybody's in a good mood. They don't care what things cost, and they're there to buy.
Well, I tell you what, John, you had me at the word cheap.
That's one reason we're there too. But
well,
anyway, I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
What's that? No, shoot.
Next question.
Okay, next question. Let's get into your products. That's kind of what we're here for.
That is true. We could gab all night.
we got plenty of time for that. But I want to let everybody know what you're about when it comes to the products. And I went to your website and did a nice little categorization here. And I mean, you guys got an interesting group of spice blends. And I'm starting to really get into the spice blending thing, which is kind of cool. Now, first up, we have a Midnight Espresso, and this one, I mean, this is pretty cool. It took the 2013 Golden Chili Award, which is very cool. I mean, it looks like it's an ancho and brown sugar mix.
Yeah, the thing is, the funny thing about Midnight Espresso is the fact that we did take the 2013 Golden Chili down in Texas. This
awesome.
Is our mildest blend. It's a mild blend. And for me to walk off with the Golden Chili at the Fiery Food Show with a mild blend lets people know, look, it's all about the flavor. We don't got to blow the top of your head off. We want flavor, flavor, flavor.
Yep.
And,
well, you know what? I think the industry is starting to lean a little bit towards that. Oh, you got the crazy people. You got the hardcore chili heads. The 0.001 of the population. They love the hottest of the hot. I love those guys too. I'm kind of one of them. However, when it comes to selling to the masses, people don't want their faces blown off. They want flavor first because they're just starting to experiment with hot and spicy, and they want to work their way up through the heat.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. You want to get people away from ketchup into salsa, into hot sauce, into the better and better rubs. And you can't get somebody to go from, like, lemon pepper right to Buchalocia. Not going to happen.
Right.
You know?
I was
really happy to get that. And, like, we go from that, our mildest blend, we go to some medium blends, and our hottest blend, the Tango Verde, which is our green chili powder, that is our hottest, and for, like, true chili heads, that would be a light breeze condiment because I'm only using habanero and jalapenos.
Okay.
But, you know, again, if I'm going to be using it to flavor my mashed potatoes as opposed to making a bowl of green chili, I use it on so much different stuff. I want to heat it up without, like, really killing the rest of the meal.
Well, okay, I was going to bring up Tango Verde. I mean, you said it actually dissolves away for dissolves well for, like, a soup stock. That's an interesting use.
Yeah, it's a very, very powdery mix, and it flows real well. If you were making, say, like a clam chowder or a corn chowder, you could add this to it. It's a similar color, so it won't change the way it looks, and it won't change the way it has a mouthfeel because it's really powdery. But, yo, you'll heat that up real nice.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I like the fact you put hints all throughout the site on each one of your things on what would be good on, like, the Midnight Espresso. You said it would be good on pan-seared scallops. That just sounded good.
Well, the thing is, we made the Midnight Espresso. Have you ever had lamb with coffee on it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I have, and I did not think I would like it. Ha-ha, I did.
See, that's the thing. Then there's a lot of people who don't like lamb or don't like venison. You add some coffee to it, it mellows the whole thing out. So we started with that, and then so we're experimenting. And you can go to YouTube right now. And listeners, go to YouTube right now and type in, you know, no, wait. Wait another 25 minutes until the show's over.
Yeah, then, there you go.
Yeah, type in Midnight Espresso ice cream, and you'll see someone reviewing our Midnight Espresso on vanilla ice cream, and that is a combination that is fantastic.
Very cool. And see, I was on the flip side of that, though. I don't like coffee, but I love lamb. So when they put coffee on, I was like, oh, this thing can taste good. I was on the other side of the room, and I still liked it. It was like the weirdest thing. Coffee went well with lamb. To me, it didn't make any sense, but it doesn't have to. It tasted good.
Yeah, when we first came out with it, people were like, what? And they'd be really surprised, you know, like, I don't think so. Give it a shot. I'll put a little bit on something right here. Well, you know, and sometimes at the booth, I'll be able to cook something. I'll say, oh, let's put something on this. And once people started getting used to the fact that, hey, I'm using coffee in my cooking, now this for 2014 has been our wildest seller.
That's cool. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, it doesn't have to be hot to sell. That's one thing I tell a lot of people. But let's move up, moving right along. Next up, we got your Cajun rub. I mean, it sounds pretty much like a classic kind of a mix. Like a shrimp boil, blackening a steak, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. See, the thing is with the Cajun rub, again, it's a smooth blend, and you get some decent flavor with the paprika and the garlic and onion. Salt and a little bit of thyme and oregano in there, which makes it kind of nice. And you can make a decent rack of ribs with it.
Right.
I make a spicy Chex mix that I bring to parties with it.
Very cool.
And even if, just say, like, it's you and your wife or you and your girlfriend, and you just want a quick shrimp boil, you can go down to the store and get yourself 2 dozen shrimps, a couple of pearl onions or whatever, put it in a small pot, pour the Cajun rub in there, and you're off to the races. You think you're down in
Louisiana. Yeah, it's not just Old Bay anymore.
No, sir. And now here's another thing. Now, you and I were up here in the Northeast.
Right.
And every May, we head on down to Baton Rouge for a big, huge crawfish boil with a bunch of YouTubers. And I'm meeting the dudes from, you know, Mississippi and Alabama, and they're all down there, and they enjoy my Cajun rub. And when I come up here, people will come to meet me at the booth, and they'll say, "Oh, Cajun rub, that's going to be too hot," and that's more towards my mild end of the table.
Yep.
Again, Cajun to me means flavor.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You can heat up Cajun stuff, but for mostly Cajun is big popping flavor. You put it in your mouth, bam!
Right.
It's full of taste, not full of heat.
Right. I mean, yeah, it'll have like a little bit of cayenne or something, but that's not hot. It's not crazy hot, and there's not a lot of cayenne in it. Like you said, if you want to make it hotter, add peppers. I mean, it's not this great algorithm in the sky. Make it hot, but I mean, it doesn't have to be hot
to
sell it.
So, and that's part of the progression. You come up to this, it's got a little bit of more mouth bite to it, you feel it in the back of your throat, it goes away quick, and you're getting people used to using more flavorful stuff.
Being able to use
it in other things. I actually use this in some baking. You know, I'll make dumplings. Put this in the dumpling.
I thought about adding it to bread. To a bread, like when you're making making homemade bread, just add it in there and have like a Cajun bread. That's the first thing that popped into my head when I saw it. I've never tried it. It sounded like something a little different.
Well, I think you're going to have to try it this weekend.
Oh, so be it. All I have to do is get some.
That's right.
Now, moving right along, this one grabbed my this one really grabbed me because I'm part Czech, and this sounds like more of an Eastern European blend because it was a major paprika. It was the chicken and rib rub. Now, this sounds like a vast amount of paprika was in it, and that always grabbed. I'm a major paprika user. I love the hot Hungarians, all the different kinds of paprikas that I love them. And what's this one all about?
Okay, now, some people, when they come to the booth and they meet you, one of the big questions you get are, do you have any low-sodium, no-sodium rubs? And
right.
I do. I have some low-sodium. I actually have one that's no-sodium. But when it comes to the chicken rib rub, I need a bigger bottle if I wanted to pack any more sodium into it. right off the bat, this is just, it's got a wild flavor that is, it's very hard to explain.
Right.
I'm using black pepper. Like I said, paprika. I'm also using extract of paprika.
Oh, neat.
With a garlic.
Neat.
Yeah, garlic and onion. And again, it's a salt-based rub, so it's got a heavy salt in it. And for a sweetener, I'm using a rice-based maltodextrin. A lot of people don't want to deal with maltodextrin, but sometimes...
I know, but yeah,
sometimes
you have to.
It really makes a decent rub, and
it
just has got such a sweet flavor. And like I said, it's chick and rib rub. It makes amazing chicken, and it makes amazing ribs.
Well, I'll tell you. The thing about maltodextrin, it's a chemical thing, but it's not bad for you. It's not one of those Monsanto things that grows out of Uranus. It's just a normal. It's a maltodextrin. It's almost like naturally forming, and it does it. It you can actually use it. We don't use it on any of our stuff, but I've had it, and it's very versatile stuff to play with, and it's cheap.
Yeah, and like I tell people, this is I put it right out there. This is what's in it. I put all my ingredients out. I put all my nutritionals out.
Yep.
And you know what you're getting. You have a question. People ask me, I'm not going to like it. I go, the easiest thing to do, let's move down the table and try something else. This is just,
right.
It's a very, very, once you taste this on something you cooked, it's something like you've never ever had before in your life.
Well, I know I'm placing an order after the show's over because you're always selling me on this stuff. I don't even have any in the house yet. But trust me, you'll know me when I order. Chicken and ribs, what else would you think about using it then? Because you said it has a very unique flavor to it.
Well, I've done it. I've used it on a pile of stuff. That's what happens when we do these things. You make something up with something in mind. I'm going to make something that's going to make a real – like a biting chicken, a competition-style chicken, or ribs.
Right.
But then once you get it made, let's try it on other stuff. I try this on, again, my snack stuff. I'll put it on a Chex mix. I've done soups with it. I've sprinkled it on top of just about a done loaf of bread. It's weird. It's not bad. I've actually mixed it,
That just sounded funny. It's weird, but not bad.
I'll say, look, it's good on this, but it's not good on that. I'll tell you something, it won't be good on ice cream, but it's actually pretty darn good if you mix it with, say, a thin barbecue sauce. There's some barbecue sauces out there, like a Carolina style, that are really thin and runny.
Right.
Add some chicken rib rub to it. It'll thicken it right up, and the flavor just is out of this world. So
very
you can use
cool.
it as
very
a
cool.
mix like that.
That's cool. No, I like you all these different ideas, and I think you're actually working on a cookbook on the site as well. Am I wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the old thing. I've been working on a cookbook for 2 years.
Right.
And
right.
You know how it is. I got a pile of recipes. I just need to get myself a hole punch and some glue.
Too funny. Oh man! All right, let's move right along. Still got a few to get through here. Now this one grabbed my attention. This is changing gears completely. This is the Twist and Shout. I mean, you got besides Chipotle, you bring in nutmeg and ginger. I mean, it just smells like it would make your house smell like Christmas.
Okay, so the beauty of the Twist and Shout is when people come up to my booth and they say, "Do you have anything that's low sodium?" I go, "Hold on a second, I've got something that's no sodium." it's a zero milligram sodium rub, which people like that right away. And again,
right.
Powerful flavor. I mean, like you said, look at the cumin, the coriander, the nutmeg, and the ginger. Those are enough quantity, and you add that to the chipotle pepper for the heat,
right.
And it's just, it almost gives you a Middle Eastern aroma to it.
Yep.
As soon as you pop the bite, say, okay, I'm thinking curry-ish type stuff. And
I'll think it's salad dressing.
you know, that's what's funny. People say, well, what do you use it besides meat? Because this is, we first came up with this one as a white meat rub, like pork. It makes an excellent pork loin. It
sure,
makes
sure.
fantastic. You know, you put a pork butt on your smoker and you're making pulled pork. This is fantastic. But
yep.
say you're just making, you just made a salad with all your great vegetables, your greens. You do a little bit of oil and vinegar. Sprinkle this on top.
Right.
And as people dig through it to get it, it adds a really nice warmth with that really nice aroma that comes from, like I said, the cumin and the coriander.
You know, and actually, you know what you're thinking? How about add it to a hot buttered rum?
Oh, well, I might be doing that later tonight.
I love me some hot buttered rum when it gets really cold out. I'll tell you what, to make them correctly is hard to do, but, man, that it tastes good.
Speaking of butter, one of my favorite subjects, like on the Twist and Shout, if you want a simple three-ingredient side dish, just make yourself some pasta, whatever shape you want. Even, you know, bow tie pasta would be good, a little amount of that. Add a little bit of butter and a little bit of Twist and Shout right there. That's just nice.
There you go. Hey, you make a compound butter out of it. Ooh.
There you go, my friend.
Hey, here it is. Okay, now next up, we have your Southwest Sunset. And this one took a 2008 Golden Chili Award, which is always cool. And looks like you bring the pecan to the party. And I love that pepper. So let's talk about this guy.
Yeah, now Southwest Sunset to date is our most award-winning blend.
Okay.
Like, you know, we took, like, fifth place we took in the at the National Barbecue Association. We took that. We've won a couple of
I read that. That was cool as hell, dude. I read that. That was neat.
I really enjoyed that, too, because that's a big thing. I mean, hot foods and stuff, but you get the National Barbecue Association. These are some
right.
hardcore beef-eating dudes.
And
I was very pleased. Fifth place was fine with me. I was really pleased with that.
Good. You should be.
Now, Southwest Sunset, if people are like, well, what's it like? Consider this my version of, say, red chili powder.
Right.
Any recipe that calls for chili powder, well, don't do that. Get some Southwest Sunset. Dude, that's an award-winning brand. You know? But, yeah, like I said, I'm using the chili piquin, the bird pepper. You hardly ever see that anywhere, and sometimes it's hard to get. I mean, there was one time I had to stop production for a bit until I could get some more. But
we'll talk after the show. I know where to get bunches of it. Oh yeah, because we use it in a couple of our products. It's a great pepper.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's another conversation starter. Some people says they look at the ingredients list, which I hand to people when they're looking at my stuff, and chili piquin, what's that? And so you can get into it, and you know,
yep,
that you put the piquin with the chipotle pepper and the ancho for a little bit of smokiness. It's again one of my more versatile blends. I've made
yep.
Southwest Sunset ribs. I've done pulled pork. When I'm making snickerdoodle cookies, it's my topping.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh,
cool.
Oh, yeah. If I'm making pumpkin creme brulee, this goes with the sugar on top and
there you
flame
go.
That up.
Yep.
Do you want to add it to the minestrone soup? It's fantastic. I add
Man.
It to my pasta sauce. It's one of those things. It can go on meat. It can go on salads. It can go in soups. It can go on cookies.
Sure. Oh, very cool.
My Southwest Sunset snickerdoodle cookies are fantastic.
You seem quite proud of them.
Yes, I know. I should enter myself into a baking contest next.
Oh, hey, you could be the next Betty Crocker dude.
Oh, that's right. Call me Butch Crocker.
See, there it is. Oh, my God. Oh, thank God, it's Festivus. All right, now we're gonna move on to your Hot to Trot. And now this one took a 2009 Golden Chili Award, which is very cool. Now, this one, when I read what was in it, I'm thinking straight up blackened fish.
That is correct. That's what we started it as a blackened
okay.
spice.
Yep.
And we branched out into all barbecues. I mean, we even make a crock pot pulled pork with this, and it's a little bit hotter for the general public. Now you're getting into the hotter end of the table.
Right.
And it's not as outrageous as some of them out there are. So
sure.
it can be lent to do all sorts of stuff. But yeah,
okay.
it's a decent one, especially for blackening.
Sure. That's when I saw the ingredients, I'm like, yeah, that's when you smoke up the kitchen. That's for blackening stuff.
That's right.
Right. But now there was one product here that really caught my eye, and I think it's your newest creation called Rome is Burning. Now, this is I don't know, if you were drunk when you made up the ingredients for this, but when I'm reading it, I'm reading over and over again, I'm like, this actually sounds really good. Pecorino cheese, chipotle, fennel, and rosemary. To name a few.
You know, yeah, I'll tell you. Now, you've gone into a pizza place, right?
Sure.
You walk in and say, excuse me, my good man, I'd like to have a slice. And what's the... And he says, yes, sir, and he hands you a slice of some of that great Jersey pizza. You sit down at the table, and the first thing you do is, what's the array of stuff on the table? And there's a little shaker of oregano. There's a little shaker of garlic. There's
hot
a shaker
seeds.
Of red pepper flakes.
Yep.
And those red pepper flakes were probably put in that jar how many years ago?
Right.
I mean, it's just, you're hoping for some heat. So
right.
This I first came out with as a pizza sprinkle. That was my first thing. I want to just, and I'm thinking, okay, it's not going to be a big hot seller because I'm doing it just for pizza, just because I want
right.
something to put on pizza. So that's where I got the cheese. I put the chipotle for some heat, and I'll tell you what, it's got a good heat level to it.
Very nice.
And the rosemary and the fennel, you get that when you start cooking with it. You start smelling that really good Italian flavor.
That's a great aromatic couple. I mean, those two of those are really going to grab your nose.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this is the first year I've had this out, and once people start getting used to it, they're like, oh, you know, this is pretty darn good, and we've branched out to trying it in all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
And here's one of the first wild things we cooked with it, because people, like I said, it's the midnight espresso and vanilla ice cream is fantastic. But
yep.
We did Rome is Burning just to give it a shot. We were doing some a bunch of briskets on the smoker, and we had some real estate and the grill in the back. So we took a couple of slices of big, fat slices of red onion and
mm-hmm.
popped the middle out so it looked like a little pedestal.
Right.
Took a red potato, smothered it in bacon grease, then packed the Roma's Burning on it. Yep, and packed that full of Roma's Burning, set it on the onion, and just stuck it in the back. And let that smoke out. And as soon as the skin started to crack, it was done. And to this day, never had better onions or potatoes ever. It was just like
that's very cool.
So simple. You just put it there in the back, and it's great.
Now after all these things you've been saying about, you seem to be quite the experimenter in the kitchen, as am I. But I mean, do you have a traditional culinary background, or are you just kind of a gadgeteer in the kitchen?
More of a gadgeteer. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom and dad were always in the kitchen. My dad was always cooking up something wild, and back in the day, on a budget of like 35 cents,
yep.
could come up with these fantastic tasting meals. I
oh,
mean,
man,
to this day, I'm trying to come up with, trying to recreate her Spanish rice, which
okay.
probably cost a dime to make, but it was the best stuff on the planet, you know? So, yeah, it's all through experimentation. Like, you know, and like I said, we were youngsters in Arizona, and you had to be creative because there was no fast food stores in our little town, zero.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm not far
net.
From that. I grew up on Army Post in my formative years, and I mean, the PX and commissary ain't all that all right about, and Mom would forage. I mean, she'd find something, these all these different ingredients, whip something together, and it was freaking awesome. And Dad was always, he was away for extended amounts of time, stuff like that, or he was, when we finally came into the civilian world, he was out of town a lot, and Mom would cook, and I was always watching her in the kitchen, Mom and Grandma, and those two are wizards in the kitchen, and I kind of follow in their footsteps. Nobody should be afraid to experiment in the kitchen. The spices are there, and all these different ingredients are there for you to use and experiment with. Don't stick to the standard black and white stuff that everybody else is making. Make it taste unique. And I just that's I try to tell everybody that. Maggie's fine. She's finally getting really good in the kitchen, and she's not afraid to stick her arm in the spice cabinet, try something. Hey, if it doesn't taste great, well, then use something a little different. But I try to tell people, just experiment in the kitchen. It's so much fun.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, you always look at it, I've got this food, and, you know, you shop right. You're not spending piles of money. You're not buying the outrageous $500 a pound Wagyu beef or something. You just got staples
right.
of food that are good for you. And then, but what's the worst that can happen? It doesn't taste awesome. It's not
right.
It's not going to taste horrible. You're not going to kill yourself. It's just
right.
like, oh, okay, I can do better next time. That's the beauty of it. Look, this
yep.
this came out pretty good, but next time it's going to be freaking awesome.
Yep,
and that's the whole
exactly.
thing. And try the different combinations. I mean,
yep.
Today I was just messing around. I had some sweet Italian sausage. I spread it out on the table. I filled it with a little bit of cheese, some onion, and some minced up crab. And
oh,
midnight
nice.
Espresso, I rolled it up, put it on the smoker, was out there for 2 hours, and that's what I had for dinner. Tasted pretty
nice.
Good.
Hey, there you go. But it'll taste better next
thing.
Time.
And, yes. And, you know, just if I can meet somebody at a place and we interact, and so, you know, what do you think of this? And, you know, what's your idea of this? And what do you think I can do? And so I wanted them to, like, leave this festival or whatever it was, and, you know, the farmer's market, leave my table, go to the guy next to me who's selling the hot sauce, go to the guy across over there who's selling some bread, and there's usually a meat guy, stop
yep.
there, and then put a kernel in the back of their mind. They're going to go to the house, and all of a sudden, boom, they're Bobby Flay. They're like, I can do this. And that's the,
and then,
that's
and
the
next,
beauty of it.
And then let's say it's a farmer's market. The next week, they're going to come right to your booth and thank you for that.
Yes. You know,
and now
you know,
have
that was a really
life.
Great meal. Yeah, and
yep.
then you'll tell their friends and stuff, and then you want to have them branch out. Look, I'm going to make this great food. I'm going to bring it somewhere else.
Yep,
and
exactly.
I tell you what, it would be awesome. And I know a guy in California, and I've been a friend of his. He's been a customer for a while. He's now branching out into the spice blending business.
Awesome.
And there is room here for everybody. The water's fine. Jump on in.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, like the you know, you're more than the dry spice and stuff, but I mean the hot sauce industry or the hot industry, I should say, to get everybody together. Everybody supports everybody else. That's what makes it really, really cool. I mean, nobody. Oh, you got a couple of douchebags, but I mean, overall, everybody is friends with everybody, and everybody wants to see everybody succeed because if everybody succeeds, the industry grows and we get more notoriety as an industry. And I mean, look what we've done with Frito-Lay. How many hot things did they have 15 years ago? Tabasco had one kind of Tabasco 10 years ago. I mean, you look at all these things. Now everybody's trying for the hot and spicy. Why? Because we, the pioneers, are basically forcing their hand because people's palates don't want Pablum and Melba toast anymore.
Yeah, the same old, same old, same old. I mean, yeah, I can make a deviled egg with relish and paprika, but why should I? Let's make a deviled egg with pulled pork and Def Con sauce and some midnight espresso.
There it is, you know, and just throw things together. If it tastes like crap, throw it out and try it again. Don't use something a little different. I mean, whatever it is, if you don't experiment, you're never going to find out, and you're going to be stuck with White Castle burgers all your life.
That's true, but a White Castle dipped in some of your sauce is awesome.
Yeah, I've been there.
But yeah,
actually, the horseradish tastes pretty good on it too.
Yeah, we were part of the first New York City hot sauce show when we were outdoors in Brooklyn.
Oh, it was a great show, man. Was it windy?
Yeah, it was cold being on the waterfront, but it was fun, and I am so glad
oh,
I
yeah.
was part of that. And oh my God, it was weird. I was the only dry spice guy there, and all your sauce.
There you go.
I tell you what, everybody I met was just so nice, so gracious.
Oh yeah,
it was
yeah.
a fun crowd.
Well, the first year, too, I mean, the first year that Steve ran that show, man, it's a shot in the dark. If it fails, it fails. But, man, we had so much fun, and the people were lined up right up to come in. Did you do it this year, too?
This year I was out of town. I was at that Baton Rouge show.
Oh, okay.
That big crawfish thing. And the Baton Rouge thing is a bunch of YouTubers. We get together. They come in from Texas, Indiana. They come down from Cincinnati, Florida, and they
oh,
all
no
converge.
Kidding.
At this
oh, very
one
cool.
guy's house, and we do like 400 pounds of crawfish. We do jambalaya and stuff. And
oh man,
it's
making me
food.
Hungry.
But this
that's,
year,
oh, that's
this
great.
Year, I've already sent in my my application. I'm going to be at the New York City Hot Sauce Show in Brooklyn
awesome.
This year in 2015. That's April, correct?
April, yeah, April 25th and 26th. And let me tell you something, the 26th is going to be a night to remember. I turned 50 and I quit smoking.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those nights. It's going to be an absolute train wreck.
Well, I like when someone turns 50, I say, welcome to the Half Century Club, my friend.
Absolutely, and I quit smoking. That's the big one. And I'm going to tell everybody in the audience, because we have the death match on Saturday, the wing eating thing, I'm going to tell everybody out there, if you after midnight tomorrow on Sunday, if you see me ever smoking a cigarette, I want you to come up and kick me in the nuts.
Wow, I was going to say, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's brilliant.
Save the huevos, man. Save the huevos. Do not smoke.
Exactly. There you go. I should get a T-shirt printed up. Oh my God. Let's ask you a couple of questions. Now the next New York one is going to be in Brooklyn as well. And that's it, I don't know if you've looked at the venue. It looks pretty cool. I'm kind of psyched about this one.
Yeah, I have actually checked out the area because, you know, you look at what the venue is, and
sure.
It looks, it's not a – anybody who lives in the big city has – they know the big convention centers like the Javits in New York or the Paulina's Place in Irving, Texas. I know you've been there.
Yep.
Those are big impersonal places, and it ends up being like a car show. This place looks like a little club where you can get in. Everyone's going to be close. Everyone's going to be really having a good time.
Yep.
More of an up-close and personal thing, I think. It looks like it's going to be a fun venue to be at.
I think so, too. I mean, it's that, you're not far from anything, either. I mean, it's just that I think it's going to be a great thing. I mean, the last 2 years have been fantastic. They just keep getting better. And Steve's one of those guys who can actually pull these things off. I mean, it's amazing what the guy's done the last couple of years with these things. But now let's see. What else we got here? Okay. Now, where else can people find your products besides your website? Are there any specific places?
Well, see, this is the thing. Me, I call myself a micro mini company. I'm like really, really little. And the guy who goes out and tries to find the stores is me. I'm the guy who packs the boxes. I design my own labels.
Well.
And 2015, I'm hoping to be more of a breakout year. See if I can get some help distributing my product. I mean, like I said, I'm available in a couple places down in Florida. Some like it hot down in Fort Lauderdale.
Sure.
And one or two places right up here in Long Island. I'm really not out there in stores. I'm 24/7 on the internet right now.
Give it time. You will be.
And
you're winning Golden Chili's and stuff like that. You've got a product that'll be a contender on the shelves. I think you should just run with it.
Yeah, I'm hoping to pull out some of those Golden Chili's again this year. We sent our stuff in. We're going to be well represented at the Fire Food Show end of next month, which is coming up. I'm going to miss this year. I've been there a couple years, and I'm going to miss this year because I'm going down to Alabama for something else.
Trying to
get more travel time. That's the thing. Next year, it's just going to take more time to do more traveling and get out there. And like
absolutely.
I said, I got a face for radio, so I got to get my voice out there.
You're too funny. Oh, my God. So, I mean, now, let's see. What any other products in the works that you'd like to talk about?
Well, earlier we were talking about, or I was talking about, the low sodium, no sodium. And
right.
I've noticed a lot. And I think it's more in a dry rub type or the dry seasonings. You get that question more than you will in hot sauce.
Sure.
But I get it a lot. What do you have, especially for people our age or older? And right now I am trying, and but I'm on version 4, I believe, of trying to come up with a salt-free steak rub.
Oh, very nice.
And
interesting.
As everybody knows, the first thing you put on steak is salt. Then you add some salt, and you put some salt on it.
Oh, man. Joe, that's my next big thing. Do you hear what's going on in the background?
Yeah, we got somebody saying, hey, the show must be over.
Yeah, I told you it goes quick. I'll tell you what, I definitely see a part two in your future for next year. Once you start getting to more stores and stuff like that, we'll start talking more about your products. But I see a very, very bright future for you guys down the road.
Well, I want to thank you very much, John, for having me on Deaf Conversations, and I'm so glad to be a part of the last show of the year.
Hey. And, so we'll wrap it up there. Joe, it was great having you on here. We're definitely having you back. I'll give you a call after the show's over. Well, there's the music, guys. Got to wrap it up. Definitely like to thank Tango Joe from Tango Spice Company for joining us tonight. Check out their line of products at tangospice.com. Their assortment of awesome dry spices and products will satisfy any palate, as you heard, and I urge you to check them out. We here at DEF CON Sauces wish them the best of luck, and look forward to seeing them again at the 3rd Annual New York Hot Sauce Expo. Just a reminder, you want to get a chance to get one of our Zero Batch number 6, get on the mailing list, john@defconsauces.com. We here at DEF CON Sauces would like to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and look forward to bringing you a ton more shows in 2015. We thank each and every one of you for listening to the social experiment called DEF Conversations. I never thought I'd do something like this, and it turns out I'm having a friggin' blast. It's all about the small business, and I want to wish good tidings to all the small businesses out there. Stay the course, my friends, as it is your vision that makes this industry thrive and grow. Keep true to your dreams, and your perseverance will allow them to come true. So we'll see everybody on January 6th when we'll have a special extended show bringing forth the King of Kings, John, a.k.a. K. John Hard, to the show and start up the new year with a bang. This is John Dilley, president of DEF CON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero horseradishes, and dry rubs. Check us out at DEFCONSauces.com. So until next year, we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili. Same bat time, same bat channel. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. I'm out.
The sheriff won't go. And some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. At the motel sleeping, the truck stopped eating. A different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hate three, no three, and shoot a dust two. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots.
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year.